I'm gonna have soda in a minute.
Welcome to the Empty Wagon Fantasy Football Podcast, and it is good to be back on the air after taking a little hiatus and a night off. But we're here to break down a little bit of Week 14, fire you up for Week 15, play some games, have some fun. Josh is out hanging out with a cartoon mouse that you all know and love. I'm not a big fan, but...
Not really either.
He's out there.
He's Mickey. He's whatever. His clubhouse is not great either.
Wow. Don't say his name. That's a copyrighted name. We don't have rights to say that.
Oh, no.
Just like we can't say that big bowl that the NFL has at the end of the year, because that's copyrighted as well. And technically, we're not allowed to say what that big bowl that's superhuman is.
I'm pretty sure Bob Iger and the mouse have bigger fish to fry than you and me. So let's not.
You never know, man. You don't get rich by letting the pennies go away.
I guess you're right.
Speaking of letting the pennies go away, the Patriots are in full freakout mode. They brought Spygate back because they're worried about the Bengals next week.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness. So
all teams are doing this. They just happen to get caught a lot. Is that basically what's happening?
Well, if it was any other team, if this happened with, I don't know, if you heard the Browns were doing this, you'd just be like, oh, whatever. You probably wouldn't even make the news.
If they were scouting Cincy like that, I would be a little concerned. I'd be like, do you really think, I mean, you've been that bad all season.
No,
you should be concerned, but.
No, but like, let's say, like, if another team did it, like if any other team did it, if Carolina was doing it, would it even make the news? Would it even make ESPN?
I don't think they have any like past transgressions that would warrant it making the news. Now, wasn't it Atlanta like a few years ago was caught like pumping sound into the stadium during games?
100%, baby.
So like them, I would kind of say like, okay, yeah, that's, you know, it's not the
but
first
it's the
time.
Patriots. It's the Patriots. It's, they do whatever, but whatever. Who cares?
You still have to beat them on the field. Like, if you're not cheating as hard as they are, sorry.
Exactly.
You're not trying hard enough. That's how I feel about it.
Alrighty. So how'd your week 14s go there, Eric?
I won both of my playoff games amazingly. I needed a miracle. I needed Alshon Jeffrey to either put up a goose egg or not play at all. And I kind of got both. So that worked out in our redraft league. And then... I had 100 points sitting on my bench in a dynasty league and somehow managed to win. So that was cool. And I found
you
out
won,
I
and I think your bench outscored you.
They might have. Yeah, between Trubisky, Winston, Cook, and Woods, about 100 and something points on the bench there. So that was cool. It was a good one.
Oof.
But
yeah,
hey, I still
moved
on.
What's up, Sleeper? They didn't do the normal recap they usually do after on Tuesday.
I know. I like to see when I'm the worst manager. I like to see it. And like,
yeah,
you
like the week I got highest score and worst manager and biggest blowout.
Yeah. Well, you didn't meet your potential. So you are the worst manager,
no,
technically, per Sleeper. Sleeper needs to tweak a few things this offseason. Let's be real.
Yeah. Like giving you like, oh, hey, this dude who you traded away just blew up.
Yeah. It's kind of messed
you
up.
You traded away 2 years ago. Like, wait, I don't have him.
Yeah. Like I drafted Mark Ingram. I don't care about his stats anymore because I traded him. So please stop.
All right, let's go and let's talk about some bosses. All right, we have bosses. Quarterback-wise, man, oh man, were there some bosses. Drew Brees, circa 2007.
Never in my wildest
45 touchdowns.
Yeah, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought he would have done that to the 49ers defense.
Yep. Then Jameis Winston, Mitchell Trubisky, you brought both of them up. 30 points, 34 points, 28 from Deshaun Watson, and 28 from Jimmy Garoppolo. Holy guacamole.
Deshaun still had 28 still, despite that awful game.
Two rushing touchdowns will do that for you.
Yeah. Still, that was a weird, tough loss. That was a bad loss for them.
Who had a worse, like, real football game? Deshaun Watson or Jameis Winston? Jameis Winston, I think, is the first person ever to throw for 450 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and rush for a touchdown.
He might be. Unless Vic did.
And
it.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I didn't talk about, he led his team in rushing this week.
Yeah.
For the second week in a row, he led the Dolphins in rushing.
Did you see that oh geez, I don't remember what quarter it was in, but he's running, he's barreling through, and he just decides to toss it back to the, I think it was the tight end.
Yeah,
that was
and
crazy.
The poor dude was like, "What?"
I was like, "What?" I was like, "Good job on you, just having the wherewithal to catch the lateral and not fumble it away. Good for you."
He's out there playing for the Super Bowl, not realizing they're trying to tank.
Yeah, he's trying to win games. We're out here trying to get a number one pick and then trade Josh Rosen also. So calm down.
All right, but I do want to talk about – so the San Francisco defense got you negative points. If you own San Francisco, are you worried about that? Or was this just a fluke game? It was Drew Brees drank for the fountain of youth and was good to go?
Yeah, they were – I mean, they just caught the Saints running on all cylinders. And Drew Brees was not good the week prior. So, I mean, I guess he got up – they're playing to the level of their competition right now, and Jimmy G was all for it. I mean, they just went back. What a slugfest. It was just a fun game to watch. So, no, I wouldn't be worried about the Niners defense or the Saints defense. The Saints have a solid defense as well, if that's who you have on your team.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to bring that up because we did talk about these guys bossing out of control. And then we have bums out here, and God, are there like some bums just all over the place. So Daniel Jones didn't play, which hopefully you knew that. Eli didn't have a bad game in place of him. But David Blah, yeah, that's done, right? We're done with that?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. I like Jeff Driscoll better personally, but he's hurt.
Andy Dalton, we're done with that, right?
If you haven't already been done with Andy Dalton,
maybe last week in a 2QB league, oh, he had a good game. He'll get this offense humming again. At least, you know, drop down Joe Mixon.
I mean, yeah, Joe had a nice day, but yeah. I don't like Andy Dalton even in 2QB leagues, so.
Kyler Murray, Pittsburgh's defense got all over him, and Kyler Murray has a bad matchup the rest of the season, so I'm pivoting away from Kyler Murray.
Sure, definitely.
The biggest surprise, I think, is Russell Wilson. Nothing.
Yeah, that was a real goose egg against – not a goose egg, but it was a – what did he have? 10 points, I think? 10,
yeah,
10.6. So against a Rams defense that really hasn't done a whole lot all year, especially in terms of – like rushing the passer compared to what they normally do. And it's not like their back end is like Jalen Ramsey's good, but the back end isn't really like crazy good. But yeah,
he threw the ball 36 times.
Yeah, they made him look
no
pedestrian
touchdowns
doing it too.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't get anything going on offense.
They did get out to a 21-3 lead there at half. So they were going to have to throw it a little bit more. But yeah, he's looked bad the last, 2 weeks now. So.
And then we got Josh Allen, man. Did another I know Baltimore's defense, we did talk about it. Ever since I got Marcus Peters, the defense has been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Only 2 rushes for 9 yards? This is a dude who's leading the league in rushing touchdowns for quarterbacks. Yeah.
I did not think they were going to be able to hold him down like they did. I figured he would still have probably anywhere from 16 to 20.
200
points.
Yards?
Yeah.
He didn't throw over 200 yards. He threw the ball almost 40 times.
Yeah. And he barely squeaked out that touchdown in garbage time to Beasley. So,
is Cole Beasley the best wide receiver on the Buffalo Bills?
No.
Fantasy-wise.
Pretty sure John Brown is still ahead of him in points. Are you talking like consistent week-to-week production? I'd rather have Beasley, but in terms of potential,
I'd rather have Brown.
Yeah, he probably is in terms of week-to-week production, but I mean, I wouldn't want to have to start him.
Is that situation like the Browns light, where John Brown's Odell and Cole Beasley's Jarvis Landry? It's like a weaker version, a more watered down version.
It is certainly watered down, that's for sure, because I would not put Cole Beasley.
But we're talking about way different tiers. Where Odell Beckham is flirting with the number one tier.
I mean, Josh Allen's better than Baker, so.
And speaking of Baker, him and Brady, woof.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, woof.
It's getting cold, man. You're going to see the quality of offenses go down, except for, obviously, you know, the Saints playing a dome, so it was nice there.
Gardner Minshew, woof.
Oh, I don't have an excuse.
Kirk Cousins, you and Josh, Kirk Cousins, oh, he's a player this week. Yeah, 13 points.
So I thought he would get a couple early touchdowns, and that would, and then they would just kind of seal the game away with Madison and Cook, but he only got the one, and then that was it.
Yep, and he was done.
Yeah. I was like,
and then.
What's happening? Because that game was fairly close most of the way through.
Patrick Mahomes, man. Patrick Mahomes. Him and Kirk Cousins, like, oof. If you're in your fantasy playoffs, we'll talk about this in a little bit. Just start thinking about it. Do you want to bench Patrick Mahomes for your playoffs? Just think about it. Don't have to answer now.
Okay.
We'll tease that for
later. I mean, I have to look at the matchups, but.
Yeah.
Because that's going to matter.
Which is something to think
especially about. Especially because Arrowhead gets real nasty cold and windy. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, running backs. We have two dudes with 31, over 31 points. Do you know who they are?
Yeah. I had, over 31 points? Okay, yes. Hang on.
Both their first names start with A.
So Eckler and Jones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I had Eckler.
Who's the guy you were going to say?
I thought Mixon, Nick Mixon only had 27.
He did. Mixon also 27.
Also on my bench.
And then Raheem Mostert.
I called it. I love Raheem. 27. Good for you, buddy.
Raheem Mostert only had 10 carries. So it's another one of those. He was on the field for 60% of the snaps, which I do like.
Yep, we do like that.
And then Boston Scott. I don't. Miles Sanders was banged up on Monday night, but Boston Scott with 24 points.
Yeah, I don't know where. I don't even. Did they promote him from the practice squad? Like, what happened? Like, what is the story here? He wasn't like a fourth down or fourth string running back for them, was he? I don't remember.
So Boston Scott, he was on the Saints for a while.
Okay.
He's one of those dudes. He's a special teams player, so he's usually always active.
All right.
And Philadelphia last night only had three active wide receivers to start the game, and as soon as Jeffrey went hurt, they were playing a converted quarterback who's in like his second year. He was a quarterback in college, and now they turned him into wide receiver. And then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Those are the two wide receivers. It's Ortega. You got to say it like Mike Tyson would say it.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that was the guys. So they're running three tight end sets, which they weren't even. Dallas Goedert was lined up on the outside playing wide receiver. And then as soon as Miles Sanders got hurt, Boston Scott, who, like I said, is a special teamer, so he's always usually active, he was the passing down guy now because J.J. dropped about three balls that hit him right in the hands.
Yeah, that screen pass he dropped was like, there's nobody near you. What happened there, bud?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a shame Miles Sanders got hurt. It's a shame Alshon went down, too. I'm happy he did because I needed him to.
You needed like 18 points out of him.
14. He only needed like 14. Okay. It was a lot. It was a very doable number for Alshon Jeffrey, and I'm happy he didn't play. I'm not happy he got hurt, but I'm happy he put up a goose egg.
So another boss running back I want to talk about is Derek Watt, who had two rushes for 4 yards and a touchdown. The reason he's a boss is because he outscored Alvin Kamara by 0.1 point.
Yeah. Alvin Kamara.
In PPR.
Yeah, which is supposed to be his bread and butter. And then who do they have next week for fantasy championships? Just out of curiosity, let me pull up the schedule. They have... No, that was this week.
Tell me how many touchdowns Alvin Kamara has on the season.
Six. I don't know.
Is that just rushing?
Total. That's my guess.
He has two.
Two total?
Two touchdowns. Two total. One rushing, one receiving.
Okay, then. So New Orleans has Indianapolis on Monday night next week. In the Superdome. So that's.
I mean, you're starting Alvin Kamara, but we'll talk about that later.
You are. I don't love it. Indianapolis' defense plays tough, so.
All right. Alvin Kamara's the biggest bust of the day because even though I'm digging, Darius Geis got hurt. He's on the IR. Rashad Penny.
Yeah, shocking.
He's out for the rest of the season. Rashad Penny's out for the rest of the season with a knee. They haven't said what the MRIs came back as.
Oh, also shocking.
So they're both out for the year.
I'm out.
Josh Jacobs also missed the game too, which we didn't talk about. And so did Le'Veon Bell. So I'll be taking a pie because I didn't put a change of the pace in there. And Le'Veon Bell was out with an illness. But he says he should be 100%, should play on Thursday night, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But those are guys that probably really hurt you if you weren't paying attention that well.
Okay.
Other guys I want to bring up, though. Leonard Fournette under 10 points in PPR.
Killed me.
They got game scripted out early. And that was pretty much the reason for that. The game was over in a hurry.
Right. But so even in previous games,
Tyrod Taylor threw a touchdown pass for the Chargers.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. But even in the past, this past season, when they've been down big, they've still gotten him at least passing work. So he's still had respectable numbers in PPR formats, even if they've been down big. So the fact that Leonard Fournette was still under 10 points this week, even though they were down big, was kind of surprising to me personally. So,
all right. So if you survive this week with David Montgomery as your running back, as your RB2 or whatever, if he's one of your starting running backs, mm-hmm. he's got Green Bay, he's at Lambeau, and then he's home against Kansas City in the championship. Both these run defenses have been pretty suspect. Are you okay starting David Montgomery for the rest of your playoffs if you won in spite of his 6.6 points?
Not if Trubisky keeps playing like he is. Good Lord. No, they'll put the game away and then they'll kind of – yeah, I mean, he won't get any, like, goal line work per se. Like, you can't guarantee he's going to be the back at the goal line to get it. So, damn, Trubisky almost outrushed him, and he got the touchdown in this past game. So
– I was going to do something funny where I was going to pull up a last 4 weeks of a running back, and then I was going to pull up like Trubisky's number for the last 4 weeks on rushing and then say, which running back would you rather have? And you'd say, well, that one, like, well, that's a quarterback. So right. You're dumb.
I mean, I'd rather have Cohen at this point.
When Kari Blassingame outscores you, do you know who that is?
Absolutely not. No.
He's Tennessee's backup. I don't know, like fullback, but yeah, when he outscores you, that's pretty rough.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. Did he get any passing down or passing work? No, he didn't.
None.
He didn't catch a ball.
He got a target. He got a target.
Yeah, a target, but he didn't catch a ball. So that's a problem. Okay. Yeah, 20 for 86. At least he got 20 carries, but man, woof.
Now, boss wide receivers. Emmanuel Sanders, 34.1 points. He did it all. He threw a touchdown pass. He caught touchdown passes. Man, if he had ran one in, get on that record book as one of those few players that have had a rushing, a receiving, and a passing touchdown in a game.
So I had him going against me in two leagues this weekend. And when he caught that first touchdown pass, the one he blatantly pushed off on, I was like, I messaged my buddy that I was playing. I was like, if that stands, I'm going to be pissed.
You sent that to us.
I sent that to you guys? I did not mean to send that.
You sent it to us too. You sent it to us too. Okay. If that Manny, because you said Manny Sandy, son.
Oh yeah, no, I did mean to send that to you guys, but I also sent it to my buddy that I was playing who had him, and I was like, if that stands, that's trash. Like, that was a terrible non-call there because it was offensive pass interference, blatant. So I was upset about it.
All right, AJ Brown. I mean, it's been streaky with him, but if you have AJ Brown, you kind of have to put him in your lineup unless you,
yeah, dude.
I know it's Oakland. It's Oakland. Yeah, but this isn't the only game.
Old boy loves him. Tannehill loves him, man. You have to seriously consider it. You do. Especially when you got Tyler Lockett putting up single digits in the past, what, 2 or 3 weeks? Guys like that, you have to consider these guys.
And then Darius Slayton, man. Eli said, well, boys, I know how to close my eyes and throw it deep.
Yeah, I think Slayton.
It was all in the first half, though. He did nothing in the second half. That whole team did nothing in the second half.
But I like Slayton. I think he's going to be a nice piece for them going forward with Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley. So,
and Sterling Shepard, yeah. Now, if Daniel Jones can just cut down if Daniel Jones can cut down the turnovers, that could be a decent offense.
I mean, you could say that about a lot of offenses, but
that's true. Michael Thomas, we don't talk about him in this segment because the dude's a boss, but he's put awesome. Up 30 points. So
yeah, he's great. Good for him.
Nuke in garbage time was the garbage man. Robert Woods caught his first touchdown pass of the season. Did you know Robert Woods hadn't caught a touchdown all season?
No, and I have Robert Woods on a team. I had no idea.
Yeah, his first touchdown catch of the season.
So my question for you is, if you have Cooper Kupp and you have Robert Woods on a team, ask him for a friend, would you start Woods over Kupp?
So something I heard, like, was listening to some other people talk, and they made a good point, was the Rams are starting to run a lot more now. And later in the season, they are.
Yeah, it's about time. Thanks.
But McVay talked about this last season, about easing Gurley into the season instead of wearing him down early. And it seems like now they're starting to run.
Yeah. No, they are.
Okay.
Thanks for snaking that touchdown, might not make the Brown, you turd.
And they got Dallas next week, and then they're at San Francisco. If it's a run-heavy team, Brandon Cooks is going to be out there because he's a decoy that keeps the safeties back, right? Because he's deep. Like, he's going deep. They're pretty much just running him fly routes.
And he'll get his shots.
And they're not throwing the ball. They didn't give him any shots in the last game, but yeah.
They gave him one or two.
Yeah, it wasn't much. He didn't get a catch. No. He goose-egged it.
Yeah.
But with that being said, Robert Woods is going to be on the field in running situations, I think, more than Cooper Kupp. Because Robert Woods is one of those guys that'll get in there. He'll, you know, knock somebody over in a block. And he's a little bigger body.
That's true. That's a good point. I like that.
So if you think they're going to run the ball more and they're at Dallas and Dallas's offense has been inept as of late, I was going to do something comparing like Trubisky's last 4 weeks compared to Dak's last 4 weeks, but I felt like that would just be too mean to you.
I know for a fact they're better, and I should have been playing Trubisky the last 4 weeks, and I haven't. Because I still, at this point in the season, don't trust him.
It's the name. It's the name value and how hot Dak started.
That's true.
It's those two things combined.
And Dak is still a top five. He's still a top five quarterback in fantasy. I mean, he still had 17 points this past week. Like, it wasn't an awful week, but it wasn't on par with what where you're used to this season with him. So,
all right. So if you have to start a Pittsburgh wide receiver next week, who are you starting?
Washington.
Well, Deontay Johnson said, "Yo, boys, I'll put up 25 points." I know. He was the whole offense. He had the kick return touchdown. He had the receiving touchdown. He did it all.
Yeah, but you can't guarantee he's going to get a kick return touchdown every week. I still feel better
but
about
that. But that was
James
the second
Washington.
Touchdown. He had the receiving touchdown as well. Yeah. He's also the one that got him down there, and Benny Snell lost 2 yards. But luckily, it was a face mask, and he caught the touchdown.
Yeah.
Bum wide receivers, though, man. Where do you want to start here? Julio's 11 points. Jarvis Landry's 11 points.
Yeah, they were all – I mean, Odell's, what, 6 or whatever it was? 5 or 6?
So we're not, like, going to break down all the games like we normally
do.
No. Denver did beat Houston, and they did it without Philip Lindsay or Courtland Sutton pretty much.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
So Courtland Sutton, that kind of scares me a little bit. Devontae Adams, man.
Well, I mean, he goes with Rodgers. If Rodgers is having a good day, he's going to have a good day, and he didn't. So, and they have Chicago next week, so that worries me a lot.
So I want to talk about Odell. He is in the bum list. I think Odell has to be a set the rest of the season because the sports hernia talk we've had.
Right, and we were talking about that earlier today. Like, why did we not know about this 10 weeks ago or whenever it actually happened? Like,
because we don't need to know about somebody's medical. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
If you're
did you watch hockey, right?
Well, hockey, that's a difference.
No, but you know what I'm talking about, injury reports with hockey, where they say lower body, upper body.
They're super
like,
vague. It's like, oh, he has a broken jaw, but he's playing through it. Like, nobody cares. But nobody cares about that.
But no, if it's a broken jaw, they're just going to say upper body injury for a broken jaw.
They will.
If he's out there with a torn Achilles, they'll be like, he's got a lower extremity.
But here's the problem. Here's the thing about hockey players. They're tough as nails. And they still perform with broken jaws and torn whatevers and busted whatevers week in and week out. Whereas NFL wide receivers are kind of prima donnas. And if everything's not perfect, they're crying about something. So, yeah. I just feel like if he was hurt, the Browns should have came out with something about it at some point. Like, he's going to try and play through it, but he does have a sports hernia. That way we know, oh, okay, maybe I should pivot to a Jarvis Landry or somebody else on some other team.
That's true.
I thought the NFL had a policy where they have to disclose any injury. But maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know the whole policy on it. If they miss practice, they have to have a reason why they miss practice.
Yeah, I guess if he didn't miss practice, that's not a big deal. But
all right, so Zach Ertz. And he has been on the injury report a lot with Odell has been throughout the season. He's been questionable most of his games, but
yeah, but it wasn't like a lot of sports hernia. It was like questionable with you know, normal nicks and dings,
abdominum or something. Yeah. All right, Zach Ertz. He caught all the touchdowns on Monday Night Football. Ruined Eli's parade. Good old Zach Ertz, tight end.
Yeah.
Noah Fant had himself a day. Jared Cook. Thing about these, both these guys left this game early. Noah Fant bruised his foot and has a hip irritation, which don't like that in a big guy.
No, that doesn't sound good. Is that like hip dysplasia in like a German Shepherd?
No, it's just irritation. It's irritated. It don't feel good. And then Jared Cook has a concussion.
No.
Yeah. And then George Kittle's points weren't really on like boss level, but his that catch he had at the end of the game
where he took where three he was guys getting to his take face mask.
He was getting face mask and he was slapping dudes and he was carrying them and then he's body slamming them like WWE stuff.
He is a big strong.
Did you watch WWE like in the like what was it? I think it was like 90s when Rikishi would come out there and they put him up against like some random scrubs and he would just make a joke out of him.
Rikishi. That's hilarious. I didn't really watch a lot of wrestling growing up, but I played the video games, so I do know.
Josh, where are you at?
He's hanging out with Mickey, bro. All
right. That's true. So I don't even know where to start with bum tight ends. I just want to bring up Ryan Griffin. He was hurt. Mark Andrews got hurt as well. Those are stuff to monitor.
Yep.
Mark Andrews did practice this week. I'm not sure about Ryan Griffin, but they have a short turnaround. They're playing on Thursday night. You're probably pivoting away from Ryan Griffin on Thursday night against Baltimore.
Yeah, I would. They could be down. They could be down a lot very quickly, and he might not necessarily see a lot of the targets. Probably Robbie Anderson in garbage time. Maybe some Jamison Crowder. So yeah, definitely pivot away from him. OJ Howard had 11 points last week. So if you need a tight end with a pulse,
and Cameron Brate talked touchdown too. So
right. Gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, but this is three straight games with 60 yards from OJ Howard. Uh-oh.
Does he fall off after three straight games, or does he have...
No, I'm just saying, like, it's starting to be a trend.
Yeah.
All right, let's play a game. I want to play a game with you, Eric.
I love it. Let's do it.
I'm going to give you a player A, player B. This is their last 4 weeks that they've played, because there might be buys or something in there, so it's not the actual last... It's the last 4 weeks that these guys played.
Okay.
I'm going to give you their stats. You tell me if you want player A or player B.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So player A is the quarterbacks right here. Player A has 1,013 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 100 yards rushing, and 2 rushing touchdowns.
Okay.
Player B has 1,086 yards, so about 70 more yards, only 7 touchdowns, 90 yards on the ground, and 1 rushing touchdown.
I mean, just on pure numbers on paper, you'd want quarterback A.
Do you have any guess at who these guys are?
I feel like one of them is Sam Darnold.
It's not Sam, not Darnold. Sam Darnold. It's Ryan Tannehill. Same breath.
Oh, Ryan
breath.
Tannehill. Okay. All right.
Ryan Tannehill is A.
Okay.
And then B. Guess who B is? He was the first quarterback taken in every draft. He might have been a first round pick. Patrick Mahomes.
Wow. Patty Mahomes. No kidding. That's
so
crazy.
Ryan Tannehill is outperforming Patrick Mahomes. I know Mahomes, he's played the Patriots. I don't care. Like, you took him in the first round. Like,
yeah.
When you take dudes in the first round, you expect him to match.
He needs to produce for sure. Especially in like a 2QB league where you probably did take him in the first round, or probably like say a redraft, you probably took him in the third. Like, yeah, he needs to step up. But it's playoff time. Like, you got to ride the hot hand. So
would you be willing to start Ryan Tannehill in your playoffs over Patrick Mahomes?
Talking about this week? So if you made it through week one?
Yeah, we'll say this
or the
week.
First round? Okay. He plays for Tennessee. I'm sitting there looking for
Patrick
Miami.
Mahomes plays Patrick Mahomes got Denver at home.
All right.
So in Kansas City. And then Ryan Tannehill has
Houston.
He's at home against Houston.
Yeah.
But Houston's defense not really been looking good.
Yeah, I like Tennessee in that game. Or I like Tannehill in that game. Because Houston's defense is not that great. And he can scramble a little bit.
And then if you do start Mahomes, week 16, he's at Chicago for Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh, at Chicago, I don't
where
like
Ryan,
that.
Where Ryan Tannehill is, he's at home against New Orleans, but it is a home game, which makes it a little better. Being a home game, but it's still New Orleans, which isn't a great matchup. But
the thing I like better about Tannehill too is if Deshaun Watson comes to play and they go up by three scores, they're going to have to chuck it. So, and then same thing following week against the Saints. They could be down four scores in the first half, and he's got to throw. And then they'll be keying on the passing game, and he might have to scramble a little bit. So he probably gets you more points than Mahomes against Chicago that week. And then probably this week might be a wash. Who are they playing? Kansas City again?
Kansas City's playing they're playing Denver.
Denver. Oh, Denver's defense can play when they want
Patrick
to.
Patrick Mahomes also, his hand is bruised. It's not broken, but his throwing hand is hurt.
That worries me. Plus, it's
it was rubbing on it. Cold.
It's Arrowhead's sting windy. A lot more. Yeah, Arrowhead's very windy. So, I like Tannehill better. Just on the, if it's competitive, he's gonna be throwing it. If it's not competitive, he's gonna be throwing it. So,
I wish I could get that soundbite. I like Tannehill better. If you would have said that 6 weeks ago. If you'd have said that 4 weeks ago, where Tannehill has actually outperformed him, if you'd have said 4 weeks ago, hey, if you have Patrick Mahomes, go pick up Ryan Tannehill and you're going to start him over Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. You just thought I was crazy. For sure.
Really, really 3 weeks ago, because 4 weeks ago was Patrick Mahomes' last big game.
Yeah.
And the last 3 weeks have been bad. But,
I mean, I'm just saying, ride the hot hand for the playoffs. You got
to
do it.
These name values, that's what this is about, is trying to get that little stigma away from like, oh, these studs have to be started no matter what.
I fell into that trap.
Studs been letting us down.
Yeah, I absolutely fell into that trap this weekend. So
let's move it over to running backs here.
Okay.
So player A has 209 yards on the ground, 13 receptions for 64 yards, and zero touchdowns over the last 4 weeks.
Okay.
Player B has 273 yards. 4 total touchdowns, 7 receptions for 84 yards.
I mean, touchdowns, 4 touchdowns to none. That's 24 points right there. So for a running back.
And he's got more rushing yards and more receiving yards. The only thing player A had over him was the receptions.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, even in PPR formats, I like him better because at least he's averaging 1 touchdown a game. So yeah. I imagine
Do you have a guess at running back A? He was a first round pick.
It's got to be Alvin Kamara.
Nope. Bigger than that. 1-1. Who was 1-1?
Barkley. Okay.
Wow. Those are Barkley's numbers of the last 4 weeks.
Wow. That's rough.
And player B is Raheem Mostert.
Okay. Yeah, he's been solid. He's been real solid. I like Raheem.
All right, now I want to do this. This next one's going to be fun for you running backs. Kind of want to do this real quick.
Yeah, sure.
215 yards on the ground, 27 receptions,
ooh,
236 yards, 0 touchdowns.
Oh, no.
Player B, 212 yards, 1 touchdown, 19 receptions, 96 receiving yards.
I still like player A there, and I feel like he's Christian McCaffrey.
No, player A is Alvin Kamara, who has 0 touchdowns.
Oh, wow.
Christian McCaffrey's got touchdowns, boys.
Has he in the past? He didn't this past week.
The past 4 weeks, he's had at least 1 touchdown.
All right.
Alvin Kamara's got 2 in the year. You want to guess who player B is, though? That's right behind him in the last 4 games this player's played.
What were his numbers again?
212 yards, 1 touchdown, 19 receptions for 96 yards.
I think Joe Mixon has more than 1 touchdown in the past 4 weeks.
He does. It's Devonta Freeman.
Oh yeah, he did get that touchdown this past weekend. That's right.
And it's kind of tricked you because it was the last 4 games that he played.
Mm.
It's where I got it.
I was thinking the past 4 weeks, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yes,
that makes
sense. That's where this one was a little different. Confused you. But the fact that Freeman is really fantasy point wise, only Freeman's got 55 fantasy points and Alvin Kamara's got 62.
And you could have gotten Devonta Freeman in the, fifth or sixth round probably? Well, no.
Or even if you didn't draft him, you probably could have traded for him after about 3 weeks.
Which I think you actually did with me.
Yeah. For Jameis, though.
Yeah. who I never play, which is
gonna come back and bite. You're gonna come back and bite me because you're a revenge game this week. All right, I do have one wide receiver one for you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, go for it. This is fun. Throw
a
player. You got.
Player A, 27 receptions, 290 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
27 receptions, 290 yards, 2 touchdowns. Okay.
Yep. Player B, only 19 receptions, but he's got 444 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Is Player B Robbie Anderson?
Player B is Robbie Anderson.
Okay.
Do you know who Player A is, though?
You said 2 touchdowns. Davante Adams?
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, okay. The former, he was for a short time the number one receiver in PPR this year.
Yeah, he was. And what you can tell the receptions are a lot higher for Keenan Allen. Yeah. But those yardage numbers and then the touchdown numbers for Robbie Anderson. And like I was talking about last year, this is a time of year where they let Sam Darnold loose a little bit because they really don't have a playoff aspirations. So they say, you know what? Go out there, have fun, let the ball loose. If you throw interceptions, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what Jameis does every day, you know?
No kidding, dude.
But for fantasy, it helps us out a lot. So Robbie Anderson over the last 4 weeks has been looking pretty good. And I like how you got it because you're like, oh, it's a big play guy, Robbie Anderson.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about him a lot. I said last week on the show I'd like him better than OBJ. Like, go out and play him because he'll turn 4 into 100 and a score, so.
All right, let's go through some news real quick because we got some stuff to talk about before we get into Thursday game.
Okay.
There's two big news for the Thursday game that I'm going to hold off on. It's Lamar Jackson, Le'Veon Bell. We'll talk about those with the Thursday game.
All right.
But Darius Guice to the IR. We talked about that.
Not a surprise.
Marvin Jones. This is surprising on the Lions. He's also done for the year with an ankle injury.
Oh, sad.
It's this time of year where people... I'm really nervous that Kenny Golladay is going to get double covered a lot more now with no other viable passing option.
Yeah, that's tough.
And it's already a bad situation. Let's see here. Auden Tate going to injury reserve. Been a wide receiver, maybe even starting him. He's been one of those, like, you're in the playoffs, you probably didn't make it there. So Pittsburgh has some big news. One, Vance McDonald got a concussion against Arizona, so he laid an egg for you. He's in concussion protocol. Juju and James Conner are both expected to practice and possibly play this week.
I wouldn't start either of them.
Are you starting Kenyon Drake over James Conner?
For Arizona?
I don't know matchups. Yeah.
They are playing Cleveland, yes. They're playing Cleveland, yes.
Okay.
I can't trust either of them to not get hurt again in the game.
All right. Mike Evans has a hamstring. He's probably done for the season.
Yeah, that was, man, he caught that touchdown and then pulled up lame in the end zone. I was like, oh no, Mike Evans owners.
Yeah, we talked about Alshon Jeffrey. He felt something pop in his foot and he's going to have an MRI. It's never good.
Yeah.
And then we talked about JJ Arcega-Whiteside. Good old Arcega-Whiteside.
I thought it was Arcega. Whatever.
No, it's Arcega because that's how it's pronounced. It's pronounced like Mike Tyson would say it. That's seriously the best way that somebody explained it to me.
Arcega Whiteside. Okay, got it. All right.
The only reason I bring him up is he only had 2 for 29, but he hurt his hamstring late. So if you're thinking about waiver wire and adding him because he's going to be a healthy Eagles wide receiver, that ain't happening.
The Eagles aren't allowed to have healthy wide receivers this year, apparently.
Nope. Oh, God.
I mean, Zach Ertz is going to be a lot of targets.
Okay, so here it is. Rashad Penny did tear his ACL. He is done for the season. The reason I bring this up, this is a late ACL tear. If you're in Dynasty, would you drop Rashad Penny in Dynasty? Because he's probably done for most of next year as well.
Sure, absolutely. This is a 365-day injury. Probably longer. And I would say if it was his ACL – it'll probably take him roughly another
2 years.
It's usually a 2 year injury. So it's going to take him another year to be completely right. I mean, Chris Carson is probably just seeing dollar signs in his eyes right now. Would I drop him in Dynasty? Yes. I think
if you have more than one IR spot, hold him. If you have one IR spot that you can hold him for as long as you can.
Sure.
But
I forget about the
IR. It's hard to hold a guy that's going to. It's going to be hard to hold a guy for a year and a half. Even Dalvin Cook, who's been blowing it up this year, did not look right last year till the very end of last year.
That's true. Yeah, these guys that have a lot of potential but have not really produced in the past 2 to 3 years, your Kerryon Johnsons, your Darius Geises, Rashard Penny has a lot of promise coming into camp every year. He was 15 pounds lighter and healthy this year, and they're not doing it. I would rather trade for a proven commodity, a guy that's done it week in and week out for an entire season, than hang on to those guys.
Okay. The Cowboys have cut their kicker, Brett Maher.
Brett Money Maher is gone? Oh, no. Whatever will I do?
He's gone. So if you're a Jacoby Brissett owner, this stuff's really going to bother you. T.Y. Hilton and Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell's on the IR. He is a rookie, didn't really do anything. And then T.Y. Hilton, still week to week. They're pretty much done, man. I don't see T.Y. playing this year.
I don't know why they'd fire him up this late in the season.
And speaking of teams that are done and possibly not playing, guys, DJ Chark in a walking boot.
No. That's okay. So, they're not really playing for
anything. What it does here is, this is fantasy playoffs. You want some of that garbage time, Gardner Minshew back.
Yeah. Because Chark is he's the number one guy there for sure. That is upset. I would pivot to Conley if you have him. I would say he's the next best guy to have on that team. And then hopefully Lenny Fournette gets a little bit more work because of it.
And Eli's probably going to finish the season as the Giants starter because Daniel Jones is going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. I know it doesn't matter, but maybe two QB leagues. They have some good matchups. I picked up Daniel Jones thinking I'd have some good playoff matchups.
That's fair.
I don't know if I feel like I'm going to start in Eli, but
yeah, they have Miami this week. They're in New York, so it's going to be cold, but that should bode well for them having a warm weather team come see them in New York. But I personally don't think Daniel Jones should have seen the field at all this year anyway. I think he should have taken the time to learn and kind of get used to.
We don't do that. Those years are over.
I know they are, but it's like, look at what happened with it. Like Aaron Rodgers was probably ready before they actually let him play.
Oh, 100%. But that's Brett Favre.
But he was ready. But like, he was really prepared and ready to go when he finally did get.
So the last big first round pick quarterback that I remember being benched for a year or so to get ready was Carson Palmer. Behind John Kitten.
That's going way back.
But that was the last time on a bad team where nothing was on the line. Like, that's the last time we've seen it, really. Other than that, they're like, yeah, just throw them out there. Let them see what happens. And you see a lot of these guys get ruined because they either get pass happy, they get gun shy because they have no offensive line and they're getting destroyed back there.
Yeah, I don't think it's smart. Like Kyler Murray.
All right.
Yeah, guys like that.
So Josh Jacobs, who's been playing with a broken shoulder?
Yeah, we thought it was a sprained AC joint originally, and then they came out. He has a broken shoulder, yeah.
Yeah. DeAndre Washington kind of lit it up this week. We didn't talk about him.
He did. He absolutely did.
So we going out there and get DeAndre Washington?
If he's going to see the same amount of volume that Josh Jacobs would have, then yes, absolutely. Volume is still king in fantasy, and he did pretty well with the opportunities he had. So if you can get him in on waivers, yeah, go out and get him for sure. 14 for 53 and a score. And what did he do? He caught a couple passes. 6 for 43. Yeah, in PPR formats, go get him.
Did we talk about the fact that David Johnson got 12 points in fantasy? Is that a boss day for David Johnson
for him
to get a receiving touchdown?
Good Lord. How the mighty have fallen. I hope he goes to Tampa next year and they turn him around again.
Yep.
You think they're going to re-sign Jameis? I think they are. Cheaper than what they think they would, or what he thinks they will. But
it all depends on what Bruce Arians wants to do. Like we said, it's Bruce Arians. This is his offense. If Jameis is picking, if he thinks Jameis is picking up his offense properly, he'll get him. If not, he'll go out there and get Andy Dalton. Like I told you, he'll take Andy Dalton.
He will. I think.
And just make him work.
I think he feels like – I think he's – he knows he's good with quarterbacks. I think he feels like if I get one more offseason with this guy, I can really cut those turnovers down.
What if they made a phone call to Indianapolis and asked, what would you guys give us for Andrew Luck?
Oh, because they still have the rights to his.
And because Andrew Luck's statistically one of his best years was under Bruce Arians when Chuck Pagano was going through his cancer treatment.
I mean, that's interesting. I don't think they're going to look there because I don't. It's not like a sure thing. It's not like, yeah, we're trading for.
But what I'm getting like, if they said, could we talk to Andrew Luck about it? And if he'd be willing to come back, could we do a deal? Similar to what Marshawn Lynch did. Remember Marshawn Lynch was at Seattle, was retired.
Yes.
Said, I'll go to Oakland. Mm-hmm. So you guys can trade me to Oakland if you want.
What? I mean, it depends. I mean, I'd be interested to see what they're willing to give up
for.
It takes
a lot. I don't think. I think Andrew Luck's back in California probably with his family. So it's probably highly unlikely that it'll happen. But it's just something out there. Weird things.
That'd be cool. I mean, that'd be amazing. Get David Johnson and him with the rest of that offense. My goodness. Somebody can throw a real deep ball consistently. Scary.
Okay, Thursday night football. We got the Jets. We got the Ravens. We got a 14.5 point favored Baltimore team with a 45.5 over under. Lamar Jackson did not participate in the team walkthrough on Monday.
Okay.
Today. But he said he is going to play. Okay. He has a quad injury. Are you getting cute in your playoffs and going to bench Lamar Jackson for anybody?
Against New York? Absolutely not. No. You're an idiot. Well,
do you think that they'll be like, you know what? I don't want him to get hurt. It's the Jets. Not worried about them. Mark Ingram, we're going to give you 25 carries.
I can see a world where that happens, but I don't see a world where he's like, you know what? I'm healthy enough to play. I'm going to play. I don't think he.
And I think the problem. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't think he's like. He's too competitive, I feel like. If he's able to play, he's gonna. I feel like. But yeah, they might cut his
carries. The thing I. And if they. Even if they try doing that, most of their run plays are run. Their option plays. Mm-hmm. And if he's out there and he sees the defensive end crashing down, he's gonna pull it out.
Yeah, here you go, bud. Here you go, Mark. Have fun. Yeah.
He's going to pull it. Like, he's going to pull it out and be like, oh, I can cut this off for 15, 20 yards.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if it looks good, take it. And they could be up big. He might not have to play most of this game. If they're up by 30 going into the half, yeah, okay, put in RG3 and let him hand it off to Ingram or Gus Bus or any of those other guys, and we'll just pound it down their throats for the rest of the game. So, yeah.
So, are you benching Lamar Jackson this week for Jameis Winston, who's playing the Lions?
No. No.
Okay.
No. It's tempting, but no.
You know, because this is like playoffs. This is like not, I can't take an L here. I need points for my quarterback. And if you're in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson, he probably helped get you there.
As Josh said last week, you dance with the one you brought to the ball. So,
Unless that one was Saquon Barkley, which we talked about.
Yeah, oof. Or Kirk Cousins or Dak Prescott, because I'm probably going to play not them this week.
I know. You're gonna put Jameis in.
Yeah, no, throw four picks to Darius Slay.
But he'll throw five touchdowns. It don't matter.
Probably, because they're in the dome. But
probably to freaking – oh, my God. Who's the old Baltimore receiver they got, Bashard Perryman? Ugh.
Do they really?
Talk about that. Mike Evans is out. Is Bashard Perryman a pickup? Is he a startable wide receiver?
No. No. Godwin and Howard will get the looks. So.
All right. Okay. And then this is a home game. So Hollywood Brown hasn't caught a touchdown pass at home. Mark Ingram and then Mark Andrews if he's healthy. But other than that, really Baltimore. Are we starting anybody else?
The defense.
Justin Tucker.
Yeah. Tucker's real good.
Isn't he a concert pianist?
Pianist?
Yes.
I don't know. He might be. I think if Mark Andrews is healthy, then yes, I would seriously consider Hurst if Andrews is not a go. I would definitely have him waiting in the wings to go if you do not have better options at tight end. If you have somebody else that's playing on Sunday, preferably later in the day, play them. But if you got to play Andrews or Hurst, go ahead.
Yeah. I honestly could see Andrews actually setting in this game.
With the short turnaround, yeah, I could too. But Hurst could have a big day. Now, New York's not very good against the tight end. So
now the Jets side of the ball. Because it's probably going to be a game they're trailing most of the time. Le'Veon Bell.
Are we sure he's playing? He said illness,
he said he's
right?
Playing. He's not contagious anymore. He lifted with the team on whatever day they did lifting. I think it was Sunday.
Goodness gracious.
Monday. It was Monday. Today's Tuesday, so I'm all jacked up. Yeah, he lifted with the team on Monday, and then he practiced with the team today, so he's back.
Okay.
He's going to play. So you signed Le'Veon Bell.
No, not against that defense. And the fact that I'm
benching for Eckler. I'm benching for Chris Carson. Are you starting Kenyon Drake over him?
No, but I'd start Raheem Mostert over him.
Yeah. Are you starting Devonta Freeman over him, who plays the 49ers?
Ooh.
49ers got embarrassed, buddy.
Freeman will probably get a decent amount of volume, but I don't think he's going to do anything with it against San Francisco. Do not expect Atlanta to do what New Orleans did last week to San Francisco's defense. That's not going to happen.
And this is a San Francisco home game as well.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So even if Julio magically appears out there and, you know, has the game of his life, don't expect them to have throw up 46 points against them. It's not going to happen.
I think both teams beat the spread, over under.
I think you're right. Yeah. Well, their defenses are both good. I can understand why Vegas had the line set where it was.
Okay. Now, Sam Darnold, I don't think you want to roll with Sam Darnold in your fantasy playoff this week.
Marcus Peters.
We just talked about.
And Earl Thomas are probably going to eat him alive.
But we did just talk about Robbie Anderson.
Yes. That's the only guy I like on this team.
And what you're hoping is that he gets Peters to jump on a double move and he gets deep. Like, it's really what you're hoping with Robbie Anderson.
Sure. In garbage time, I think absolutely Robbie Anderson is your guy to get, you know, four to six catches, 100 yards and a score. I think he's your guy.
Because as the spread, you know, if the Ravens play how we expect them to play and they get up by a lot, Marcus Peters is going to get more aggressive on trying to get a pick six.
Sure. And why not?
So
get paid, bud.
Yeah.
But yeah, Robbie's the guy that can get you some points. I don't think Jameson Crowder.
And no Jets defense, right?
Ooh, no God. Oof.
No good. What about the kicker? He put up a crap load of points last week. He's no Jason Sanders, who put up 27 fantasy points.
Oh, boy.
I should have brought him up.
Yeah, bosses. That's why kickers for defense sure, are dude. Stupid. Yeah. Oh, boy. I could see that being.
I'm not doing a Thursday night kicker.
No, it's not a great idea. I like. I was gonna say the Atlanta kicker, but not anymore because they're playing San Francisco. Although that's actually probably not a bad play against San Francisco because they'll probably have relatively a decent number of field goal opportunities.
Well, you can go out and get the Cowboys kicker now.
Who is their new kicker?
Because nobody knows. They don't know. They haven't signed one yet.
Oh, great. Yeah, because we're not trash already.
Well, they saw the Patriots do this, so they're like, maybe we can do what the Patriots did.
No, you're not the Patriots.
Jason Garrett's trying to save his job right now, and a new kicker might do that.
It won't. You lost to the Bears. You made Mitchell Trubisky look like an MVP. You're bad.
You lost to every AFC East team other than the Dolphins.
Fact. I love that meme where it's, hey, you still them boys, and it's all the quarterbacks that have beaten them this season. And it's a bunch of chumps. It's ridiculous. They're bad. Even that black cat beat them.
All right. I think that's really it for Thursday Night Football. Hopefully it's a better game than what we think it's going to be. Hopefully they keep Lamar Jackson honest, because honestly, in a couple of leagues, I'm thinking about benching Lamar Jackson. I don't know, though.
It could be a Kirk Cousins kind of situation from this past week where he only throws 15 times and doesn't run the ball at all because they're up by so many so fast. So,
yeah. Okay, here's one piece of news that we forgot and it brought me up, because one of the guys I think about starting over him was Ryan Fitzpatrick, because Fitzpatrick's got a decent matchup against the Giants. But the problem is Devontae Parker has a concussion. And Albert Wilson is also hurt as well. So with both his big guys out, I'm really not feeling the Fitz magic.
No. Play even – so even if you end up playing Lamar Jackson and he doesn't have a normal Lamar Jackson game, he's got an extremely safe floor. You can still count
he's
on –
He's gotten under 10 points once this year.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can count on the production no matter what. And that's that to me in the playoffs is more is better than a boom or bust with Brian Fitzpatrick on the off chance, you know, maybe Devontae Parker makes it through concussion protocol or something like that. So I would take the sure points.
Oh, and last thing, Paul Feinbaum said that Freddie Kitchens is the worst NFL coach he's ever seen. And he says, I know Freddie Kitchens. I watched him when he coached in high school, and he's not ready for the NFL.
Dang.
He should have never got that job. I was listening to Stephen A. this morning. I was like,
Fire. My goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that about
he
a lot.
He can't command the locker room. He can't command the press.
Jason Garrett's had a job for 10 years, and he has no right, no business being an NFL head coach. Yeah, he can clap. Congratulations. What do you do, Jason? You don't call plays. You don't call defensive plays. You don't call offensive plays. What do you? What would you say you do here?
He's Jerry Jones's
beep. Yeah. Well, that's wearing thin because I just saw a thing.
Well, Feinbaum did say that too. He said that Jerry Jones probably should shut the hell up too.
Well, either fire him or be quiet. Like, that's how it should be. Like, either you support him or you're thinking about firing him and you're going to fire him. And you do it. But I just saw a thing on Undefeated where they said Marvin Lewis should be the Dallas Cowboys head coach.
Well, he's exactly what they've been since they won the Super Bowls.
Mediocre.
Mediocre.
Yeah, that's the last thing I want. Let's hire Jeff Fisher, too. Go ahead. Make one the offensive coordinator, one the defensive coordinator. It'll be great. It'll be fantastic. They can share head coaching duties. And we'll be 8-8 again for the rest of my life. Absolutely awful. You're dead to me, Jason Garrett. Dead to me.
Oh, man. But, yeah, Dallas Cowboys. I just pulled up a list of their head coaches because we talked about this. Tom Landry forever. Then you had Jimmy Johnson. Then Barry Switzer. Chan Gailey was a guy I always forgot about.
That's because he had a very forgettable stretch of being a head coach.
2 years. Yeah. Then Dave Campo. You remember that one?
I do. Yeah. Now that you
and
say
then Bill Parcells came in there and brought him back.
He drafted DeMarcus Ware.
Wade Phillips.
God bless you.
Then Wade Phillips came in there for a little bit. And then Jason Garrett since 2010.
Yeah. Wade Phillips is a guy that should not be a head coach, but he is an excellent defensive coordinator. Like, when he only has to focus on defense, he's a really good coordinator. So, but yeah, that's you should go through the quarterback sometime.
So real great. Before Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys had one head coach.
Yeah, because Tom Landry was a boss.
And then since then, they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 coaches. Because you were like, yeah, they haven't had that many coaches. 7.
Yeah, it's not great. Like, all time, they haven't had that many coaches. But, yeah, when you bring it up in the past, you know, 30 years, they've
had a
lot of coaches.
But that's because Tom Landry coached for 30. He coached for 29 years.
That's because Tom Landry was a good coach. So was Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson should have coached there for 15 years. He was ahead of
Landry
the curve.
Has a better, what? Tom Landry has a better winning percentage than Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson only coached for like 2 years there. 3.
Yeah, he has barely over 500 record. And his first year was that 1-15 year with Troy Aikman's rookie year?
Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about that. That little guy? You gotta worry about that little guy.
All right, man. Well, I'll let you go.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Send it off.
Thank you all for listening. Oh, yeah. Thanks, y'all, for listening to the Empty Wagon Fantasy Football Podcast. I just tell Eric I'm going to do this because I forget what to say all the time, but he's Eric. I'm Brad. Josh is somewhere out there in the universe. He's killing it. He's doing his thing. He's probably out there on the Twitter sphere. I don't know. Hit him up. Hit him up at FFJoshShoes. I'm at Tag Jones. Eric's at Guns of Vels 19. Hit the show up at Empty Wagon Pod or Empty Wagon FF. That's it. Empty Wagon FF. That's it. Later, guys.
Later, Josh. If you're not on Space Mountain, I'm going to be mad at you. Bye.